This afternoon, everyone, I want to cover a subject during this period of the Thanksgiving week that is very important for us to review in light of scriptural admonition. It was prophesied in the Word of God that in the last days a terrible problem would arise. The problem has always been there, but it would really be magnified greatly in the latter days of man's rule on this earth before the kingdom of God comes to this earth. What I'm talking about is a spirit of ingratitude, a spirit of ingratitude. And this is something that we need to look at in light of the scripture. Ingratitude means to forget past benefits for kindnesses received. And in other words, you just don't acknowledge the good things that are being done for you, whether it be done by people or whether it be done by God himself. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'd like you to join me there. We're going to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and see what we are reminded of concerning this particular problem. Hear God's word through the Apostle Paul talking to the young minister Timothy, the young evangelist. He was telling Timothy that there were things he needed to be mindful of as a pastor, serving the people of God in his generation, as we serve God's people in our generation. In verse 1 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy, we are told, it says, "This know also." So this is something God wants all of his people to be knowledgeable about. He does not want us to just brush it off. He wants us to take note that there is something happening in the last days that is affecting the character of the people and the nation as a whole. And you're going to see that because it bleeds right into everything we see happening in our daily life as men and women living in the United States of America. It says, "This know also that in the last days," it says, "that there would be something that would impact on people called perilous times." Perilous times in the King James. Other translations say stress-filled days. And as never before, we have seen that there are people today under tremendous stress of all kinds. It's coming at us from all directions. And stress, which we never thought too much of it because there was certainly, we knew there were stresses in the world, but it seems like now these stresses seem to be magnified and they're getting to the place it's becoming perilous when we see it in the overall perspective. And it says that these perilous times shall come. It's guaranteed that they're going to come. And notice it says, "For it must be something there to give us an insight." He says, "For then these men shall be what? Lovers of their own self." Self-love, narcissistic attitudes and character responses would be what we would be exposed to. And notice what that says. They would be lovers of their own selves. There would be covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and notice that next word, unthankful. Unthankful, which is another way of saying ingratitude. A lack of appreciation, a lack of things that people do for other people, and they don't even have the common courtesy to say thank you. They just accept it. These are something that God wants us to understand because people are going to start taking everything for granted instead of being appreciative of what people do and also what God has done for all of us as individuals. Notice what comes after. When you fall into the trap of being unthankful, you swirl into the realm of unholy. Today, people are ingested in many different ways. They're ingesting ideas and philosophies that are taking them into unholy directions, things that are not acceptable in light of the Word of God. And it says you're going to see these people are going to be without natural affection. I've often wondered, how can sometimes a mother with maternal instincts, how can they do some of the things you hear reported in the news to their new young babies, new precious little babies, and they do some terrible things to these little precious lives that are entrusted into their care. And then you'll hear even the men are involved sometimes doing terrible things to children. And these abuses keep pouring out every day. We hear it on the news. It almost becomes commonplace because it is what's happening in our world. You'd have truce breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Oh, yeah, as soon as you try to set the right example, they call you goody two-shoes. They wanna put you down because why? It makes them look bad when they're doing these things and they're not doing the right things. Traitors, heady, high-minded. It says, lovers of pleasures. Oh, yes. And today mankind is steeped in a desire for anything that will bring pleasure. And that can be examined from many different points of view. But where do people like to go? They like to go to various locations where they can have fun and enjoy. And all the advertisements tell you, come here and you can have wine, women, and beautiful things going out here. It's gorgeous here at these different places that you go to, and you can see the different way people live and their lifestyle. And these lifestyles are all being put forth as if it's okay. But it's not okay. And according to this, notice what it says, in their quest for love for pleasures, more than lovers of God. God is not taken out of the picture, but God is relegated into the back room of everybody's mind. They don't want to think about God or bring him to the forefront. And I'm talking about the broad majority of mankind today. This is very important to understand because it says right here, it says, what are they doing? They're saying they're having a form of godliness, a form and ceremony of godliness. Well, as I was talking with one of the members, he brought out an interesting point. He says, one of the very elements of religion today can all be traced back to about 300 A.D., and all of it has its roots in Catholicism. And that's exactly where modern-day Christianity has. All it has is access to things written from the past, and those elements that they practice in the various denominations that they're involved in are basically rooted in elements of Catholicism. The United Church of God is not a denominational organization. It's non-denominational. We have our roots based on the Word of God, and we look to God for guidance and help, not for men to guide our ways in the future. And what we acknowledge is something that they will not acknowledge. It says, having a form and ceremony of godliness, but denying the power thereof. God, when you talk about the God of the Bible and you talk about the God of creation, you're talking about a God who has incredible. Will we surrender to what God says? We can't surrender by giving him 50%, 70%, 90%, but 100% in repentance, acknowledging that we too have fallen prey, just as he has said in his word, and we have sinned. We violated his law, the sacred law that tells us how to live this life, and God is the only one who is eternal and has the right to tell us how to live life. But we all like to pretend as human beings, and that's where we've all been deceived and all gone astray. We all thought we had a handle on it. We all thought we knew how to do it, and no, we didn't. And today we have nothing but a bunch of problems that were created because of sin, which is a spiritual problem. But we have carnal-minded people sitting around tables trying to figure out with physical solutions, trying to solve spiritual problems, and it can't be done. That's why it is going to head to a time of trouble such as never was before, and man will be on the almost on death's doorstep when God sends Jesus Christ to spare mankind from destruction. If he didn't do that, it says no flesh would be saved alive. So these are serious times in which we're living. And yet God doesn't want us to be looking always at the hard and the crucial things that are going to hit mankind. He wants us to rejoice before him for the good things that he has created for all of us. And so what we are doing on this particular day today, we're going to acknowledge this very thing that mankind is now struggling with, the sin of ingratitude. It was prophesied. That's the title of the sermon, The Sin of Ingratitude. It was prophesied. And I gave that to you in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, setting the stage. But now listen more specifically to what God tells each and every one of us as individuals called to the knowledge of his truth and his way. Now here's what he tells us point. Now everyone, if you ask people who are God-fearing people in their thoughts and in their minds, they want to do what? If I can just know God's will. Let me tell you God's will. I'll give you the scripture that shows you specifically God's will. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. Listen, it says, in everything, what are we supposed to do? In everything, give thanks. Now, wait a second, Pastor. What are you saying? You know, everything is, there's good things out there and there's bad things out there. I'm supposed to be happy for bad things? No, you're not happy for bad things, but you give thanks that God is in charge of your life and he can take things that sometimes appear bad at the moment and he can turn it around and make it work for good. Because God has that capacity where you and I do not. You and I are limited in what we can do. But God says all things are possible with him. So therefore, we are to do what? We are to follow the example of the scripture and in everything give thanks from morning to night. Just constantly be thanking God for every breath you breathe. Just in your mind, you just carry this mental state of thought that God is with you through the power of his spirit and he wants you to be happy. He wants you to be filled with the joy of his Holy Spirit working in and through you to accomplish his will and his purpose. And he's got a great purpose for each and every one of you as human beings. And we know that is to become a glorified son and daughter of God. He doesn't want you to be like someone else. He wants you to be who you are. But he wants you to have the character of Jesus Christ embedded within you, because then he knows that you will be on the same page with him and his son, and you can find God's answers more clearly defined in the Word of God. Here he says that we are to do what? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. The will of God, all right, to give thanks. To show gratitude for all things. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning me, concerning everyone who wants to do the will of God. Here's what you do. You thank God for all blessings. Because if God had not granted these blessings, we would not have what we have today. Everything you have in your particular possession is by the grace of God. It's his. It belongs to him. And yet he lets you have it so that you can enjoy the gift of life he has given you as a human being. And he wants you to use it wisely and to the glory of God who gave it to you. This is what people have not understood about life. They're too busy consuming the things of everyday life and using them for their own selfish purposes. Where God wants us to do what? To show gratitude to our fellow human beings. Why? Because we are what? Our brother's keeper, we're told. Now, we being our brother's keeper doesn't mean we're supposed to be foolish individuals. We're to be a good Samaritan, not a sucker Samaritan, if I may use that term. There are many people who want to be a good Samaritan, but they're very foolish in how they execute that responsibility. And they're taken advantage of by very slick con men today who play on people's kindness, who play on people's generosity, and who take advantage of people. God does not call us to be that way. He wants us to be smart. He wants us to be discerning. He wants us to glorify Him. Jesus was not an individual who was taken advantage of. He always knew how to deal very carefully with everything He had to deal with in His ministry. As individuals, you and I are called to make sure that we are living, executing this life to the glory of God, to the best of our ability, and asking God to forgive us where we so humanly stumble from time to time. Now, this is something that we all have to learn. Ingratitude is a sin of omission, and we've all omitted it. I remember a situation once, a youth program that I was involved in. I had a vehicle and a van, and I took a bunch of young people to this activity, and as it was over and they were all disembarking from the vehicle, only two out of that whole busful said, "Thank you, Mr. Martin, for taking us to this activity." Only two had enough to say thank you. The rest just, boom, just flew out of the van, taking it for granted. But if I hadn't supplied the van, they never would have got to their youth activity. So you see, people take advantage of things. Now, they were probably just young people having to learn a lesson like everyone else. I don't hold that against anybody, because we all have to learn. But one thing you learn very quickly, that there are people who try to practice the way of God, and there are other people who just take advantage of the way of God. And it's very important for us to walk humbly before our Creator in these areas. Our nation today is plagued because of this problem. The churches that people go to, the churches of their choice, not necessarily God's, but their choice, the churches they go to, they're plagued with this problem. And they see it, and it bothers them. And it's so important, because the church of the living God must be different. It has to show a love and a gratitude not only to God and for the wonderful blessing of the country in which we are blessed to live our lives, but for one another, how much we appreciate one another, because we're all called for the same calling. And how we execute that calling is individual responsibility. You can't get in, as it's been said many years ago, you can't get in on somebody else's coattails. It's your responsibility to execute what you believe and what you practice to the best of your ability. Now, we see that so many today in families are having serious problems. Because why? People are not thankful, dear brethren. For example, how many people in this... I'm sure there are individuals who are trying to the best of their ability to do it. I'm talking to us today, and let's ask this question to ourselves. What about our families? Husbands, do you tell your wives how much you love them and appreciate them? Wives, do you tell your husband how much you love him and appreciate all he does for you? Parents, do you tell your sons and daughters how much you love them and embrace them and tell them and give them words of encouragement and not just, quote, get all over their case every time they just upset you a little bit? These are important things to take into consideration. Because gratitude, when you don't have a dad, when you don't have a mom, when you don't have a brother and sister, when you don't have loved ones that you've shared life with, then it gets up close and personal real fast. And it's important. I had a dear friend, a gentleman, years ago, and I really found what he said, how true it is. He was upset because he had seen some individual who got lost his life, and in this process he saw these people boo-hooing and crying over the funeral and so forth. He told me, "You know, right there, you see what's going on right there?" He says, I don't want anybody ever crying over my grave how much they love me, how much they miss me, but they never told me in my lifetime while I'm alive to be able to hear it. If they're going to tell me they love me, tell me now while I can hear it. Let me embrace that love now while I'm alive." You don't know anything when you're dead. The scripture affirms that. The living know they're going to die, but the dead know not anything. So all crying over a dead grave, person in the grave, is not going to help them any. So these are things, again, do it while we can, while we're alive. Ingratitude is a condition that really describes a terrible downward trend in people. When we should be the most thankful people on the face of the earth, what is the nation we belong to? We are part of the house of Israel, the Bible tells us, Ephraim and Manasseh. You remember what Manasseh's name is? Forgetful. We forget where our blessings come from. You read back in the book of Deuteronomy in the early chapters, it says, when you come into a land and it's all blessed and you have all these marvelous things going for you, he says, don't forget the Lord your God who brought it to you. And yet that's what's happening in the curse of the end time. People are taking advantage of things, and as a result, they are just going about life, and they don't realize what's brewing on the horizon. We are in a period of time that is moving very strongly where it says, because iniquity abounds, it says the love of many wax cold, not only spiritual love for God, but spiritual love for their brothers and sisters in the calling of God. It's a real serious period of time for all of us, but yet at the same time, a time of great rejoicing because we're not alone in this battle. God is with us as long as we're with Him. And as long as we rely on His power and His strength, we will slay whatever Goliath is out there that comes at us. By the grace of God, we will have the victory, and it's just the faith and confidence we have in our God, just like David when he went up against Goliath. You don't think he had a little tremor inside? He had never gone up against a combat veteran like Goliath. But his confidence was in God, and God has promised he would be our confidence and keep our foot from being taken. And that's exactly what David did when he went out there. And then he did what he had to do his part. If he hadn't revved up that slingshot and shot that stone right at old Goliath, I often wonder, this is just me talking now, but I wonder if there was an angel there that says, let me take that stone and just give it at it, pop, right in the head. He was good. David was good, but I bet angels were there to watch over him and help him too in that battle. So anyhow, the thing we need to learn and what we have to keep in mind is that because this sin of ingratitude is prophesied for the end time, the people are just going about their business like it was in the days of Noah, and a flood was out there getting ready to come and overpower them, and they didn't even know it was coming until it was over. And that's the way it's going to be, it says, in the last end time period. It says these events are going to just continue to become more and more and more, and it's going to become a question, what in the world is going on? But they don't know, and so they'll just dismiss it, and then all of a sudden, boom, there will be an explosive period of time in human history. Take a look at what's happening in the weather and all the things that are going on right now. It's just one thing after another. If it's not floods, it's fires. If it's not fires, it's hurricanes. If it's not hurricanes, it's tornadoes. You name it. It's like round robin. It just keeps circulating around. And people automatically say, well, what's it going to be now next? They're almost anticipating something else is coming. They sense something's out there happening. Well, what's happening is that we're moving closer to the time of the return of the Son of God. Every day brings us closer to that. And you and I want to be ready when that time comes, because when that time comes, a marvelous and glorious event's going to take place. And what is that? The glorious resurrection of the saints and the transformation of those who will be a part of the first resurrection. That is something that is absolutely marvelous according to Scripture. And it'll only happen once. It is a resurrection unto immortality. Everything else after that is a physical resurrection and will be brought into perspective as you read and study the Bible on the subject of resurrections. But in preparation for that, we have to realize, what kind of a world are we coming out of? Well, it's a world that does not have God's perspective. And that's why we're told to come out of her, my people. You have to back away from the tree so that you can see the forest, so you can see what's out there. What are you up against? We're up against winds that are blowing in all directions to take us this way, that way, but not the right way. And so this is where, again, we have to stop and ask God for help. And what does God do? He gives us the answer. He tells us that these characteristics are really spelled out in specific terms by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And here we are given the following. It says, for the invisible things, yes, there are invisible things that are very much real, but they're invisible. God himself right now is invisible. We are told in Scripture through the prophet Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's available to those who are seeking him and knocking and asking for his guidance. But for those who are not, notice he says the invisible things of him, meaning God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And that means you look around and you say, where did all this come from? It just didn't happen by accident, although there are people who say it did. That doesn't mean it's so. There was great intelligence involved. And what do we see also? He says that this world, it can be clearly seen. This invisible element of God. It says, being understood by the things that are made. Meaning, somebody had to make these things. They didn't make themselves. If you had come to services, and I'll just take a number here, like you came in a particular vehicle, and the vehicle was a Ford, or any of the other vehicles that are out there. Behind that vehicle is a maker. That vehicle didn't make itself that you came to church in. Somebody else made it, an organization called the Ford Foundation or the Ford Organization Motor Company. And they did what? They set up all the things necessary that brought that into existence, and then you bought the car. And you use it, and you love using that vehicle. Well, in the same way, we're told that we see and we can understand by the things that are made, even his eternal, here we go, his eternal power. He has power that has an eternal ramification to it, and his Godhead, so that we are, in essence, what? Without excuse. Because that when they knew God, when they could actually look and see and comprehend that, hey, there has got to be some supreme intelligence involved here. What does it go on to say? That when they saw and they had this understanding and they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Why? How did they do that? Well, all these things happen by evolution. Things just kind of came together by accident. Scientists do what? They give us all these swan songs about how it happened. Now, the truth of the matter is, he goes on, he said, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Ingratitude. They were not thankful to God for the very things that they were working with that prove there is a God. And that should have been so obvious, but when you're dealing with the carnal mind, the human mind of rebellion, then you begin to understand why even today in the 21st century, how in the world are there people who still believe in the flat earth society? That believe this world is flat. We're just one big pancake. I guess you fall off the edge of the pancake sooner or later when you get to the edge. Because that's what would happen if it was just flat. Well, we know it's not flat, it's round, and we've seen enough plans. Even God uses the term in the Scripture. He says, it is he who sits on the circle of the earth, not on a flat pancake of the earth, but the circle of the earth, implying a round orb. So this is, again, clearly understood, as it says, and they knew God, but they would, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They didn't want to believe, and so God says, that's fine. Now they're in a state of darkness. They can't explain really where all this happened. Because if you don't listen to what God has to say about it, then you have to make up your own scenario. You have to come up with your own lame duck answer to all these things that are witnesses of God himself. So here again, gratitude means being unthankful. Well, dear brethren, I'm sure we all have to recognize that as we start approaching the new year and comes Passover time, as we examine ourselves, all of us are guilty of ingratitude at times. We take our mates for granted. We take our sons and daughters for granted. We take our brothers and sisters in Christ for granted from time to time. And we must recognize that's got to stop. And God help us to make every effort to improve in our lives in these areas. Because, again, you never know what you have until you lose it. And I pray, oh Lord, dear God, please help us to learn these lessons so we don't have to lose things to learn these lessons, because those losses are so hurtful and they just tear us apart, and we don't want to have to go through that. So please help us to hear your voice. Help us to turn it around with the power of your Holy Spirit working in our lives, because there was a reason why you told us to pray, thy kingdom come. You didn't tell us to say, thy kingdom stay where it is, we'll be up there. No, the problem's here on earth. And we need God's help here. And you and I are trainees. As I've mentioned to you in the past, we're trainees in the way of God. And the way of God is not being taught in the world today. And because of that, people take many things for granted, and they demonstrate ingratitude in living their lives. Where we find it in our lives, we need to repent and ask God to forgive us, because, again, life is so precious, and God wants us to understand how precious it is. And when you see the plan of God and how it comes to its conclusion, and realize those who have been blessed to follow God and receive the blessing of God will inherit the joy of what God has placed in your heart. He has placed eternity in our heart. We want to not only live this life to the full, even though it has its ups and downs, we want to live this joy, this wonderful thing of life that God has given us, and then we want to live forever to see how God is going to bring all these things to pass that he speaks in the Word of God. For those who choose to go contrary to God, their eyes are going to close and they will never see the light ever again, because they will cease to exist forever. That ought to be enough to scare the socks off of everybody, so to speak. Not that God is trying to scare you. He's just trying to tell you, look, this is a life and death matter. And I want you to understand, don't play me for a fool. For I am God. Be not deceived, I am not mocked. What you sow is what you will reap. You and I have not sown the best, brethren. You and I have a lot to repent of. Just thank God we have a merciful God who has not dealt with us according to our iniquities, but leads us to repentance and shows us his great love for us through Christ, so that you and I can have hope and go forward. Otherwise, you would become depressed and you would have no purpose to living life. And that's what people are living today. And you can understand why people with no purpose in life, they turn to alcoholism, they turn to drugs, they turn to sex, they turn to anything to fill their lives with some kind of a meaning. and it's so empty and so futile. It is only when we will acknowledge what has happened and come to God and recognize, Father, forgive me where I have been unthankful, where I have been unholy, because I too am just like everyone else, a sinful creature. I don't practice sin. I don't want to practice sin, and you don't want to practice sin, but you are a sinful creature. That's why we are told to take time and be mindful of our holy command to take time to be holy like our Creator. Physical ingratitude, it happens. We have an example. The Scripture tells us in Romans 15:4 that everything is written for our learning. And so what do we learn as we read the Scriptures? Most people don't pay any attention to them because they've been told by their ministers that the Bible doesn't apply anymore. That was for somebody else. Doesn't apply to them. The Bible applies to everyone made in the image of God, male and female. More specifically, to people who are being called now. The judgment is on the house of God right now. The other judgment will come to them in a course of time. But here's the thing we learn. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 25, when you read about that, do you read about a man named Nabal? And the foolishness of a man called Nabal, where David and his men provided physical security for Nabal and his wealth, his farm, and everything that pertained to him. He kept David and his men, protected them. And then when David needed some help, what ended up happening is that he was completely ungrateful for what David and his men had done, and it took his wife to go and soothe David, because David would have taken him out. He was so upset with Nabal because of his lack of appreciation. And it was Nabal's wife that ended up sparing him from being terminated. But the Scripture gives us a very important lesson in that. How many of us receive blessings and help from other individuals, as well as from God Himself every day? And yet, we act like Nabal. We're foolish and we don't thank God, or say thank you to somebody who has done us a real wonderful helping hand when our back was to the wall. You never take anything for granted. You have to be very appreciative, and that's exactly what Nabal did not understand. And then it boils down to this. How often do we tell our spouses, our parents, our children, our friends, how much we really appreciate all that they do for us? We'd be in trouble if we didn't have parents who loved us, provided things for us as we were growing up and coming into this world. We had to learn to tie our shoes. We had to learn to put our socks on. They did it for us for a while. But can I do it, Mommy? Can I do it, Daddy? And then you learned. Well, life is a constant learning process. And we're learning all the time, both physical lessons of life and spiritual lessons. And so you and I today are grappling with something that is very important. An acknowledgement that when you leave God out of the picture pertaining to life and denying His existence, you're denying yourself the greatest blessing that you could ever have. Because the greatest blessing is to know that you are a servant of the living God who gives you life and all that you so wonderfully are blessed with. Now, this is what we are supposed to take time to think about. The Apostle Paul gives a vivid, vivid picture of what happens when a person strays. And Romans 1 really gives quite a bit about that. I won't take the time to go through it all, but I'll just mention, as you go through Romans chapter 1, verses 23 through 32, you find out what becomes of the person or a nation that becomes so unthankful and full of ingratitude. You see a downward spiral that just takes the individual or the nation out. We open ourselves up to gross sin and behavior when we forget that we are to be filled with a spirit of gratitude from God's Holy Spirit and appreciative and expressing that. The picture is a horrible confrontation because of sin. It's like hitting an iceberg, like the Titanic, and it went down. And a person goes down when they get involved in all the type of activity that Paul talks about there. Ingratitude snares the heart, and the person soon begins to replace the beautiful account of creation with evolution, with guesstimation of how this happened, that happened, instead of just letting God tell you how it happened. Being unthankful is a dire, dangerous thing against which God warns us strongly. And that is why it is important to pay attention when God is speaking. We have to practice the things of God. We have to practice love. We have to practice kindness. People are not doing that today. If you notice the news and the things you hear on the news, and most of it is bad. Most of it is people are short-fused. They're doing terrible things. They don't respect law and order, the police or anyone representing the police. They're saying things, unkind things. And yet, really what the world wants deep down inside is peace. But they can't find peace without the help of God's Spirit. You and I could not find peace. Bible tells us we can have the peace of mind that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus. You can't find it anywhere else. No other books written called holy books can even come close to what the Bible says and giving you answers to life's many questions. You and I are told to walk humbly with our God, to be thankful and appreciative every day for the little things, for the big things, and to be thankful for everything. It was prophesied that the sin of ingratitude would become more and more a problem. And that's why you can see, as iniquity just keeps revving up and getting stronger and stronger, it says the love of many will wax cold in Matthew 24. Now, why is that? Because they will lose heart. They will lose faith and trust in God and in anyone. Because who can you believe? What is the truth? Jesus made it clear. He says, you shall know if you are called of God and you really want to know. He says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. How will it set you free? It will answer all the questions pertaining whatever status apart in life. As a young person, as a middle-aged person, as a senior person, it covers all the dimensions of life that we live through. And God wants us to be encouraged by that. That He is with us, and like He says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13, He says, work out your own salvation. In other words, you've got to put your shoulder to the plow. Somebody else can't do it for you. Because it's an individual thing that God is working in each and every one of our lives. And He says, work it out with fear and trembling. We tremble before the Word of God. We don't take it in a passive way. These are the precious words that Jesus said in John 6:63. He says, the words I speak are spirit and they are life. It's what gives us meaning and hope and purpose to life. And so, when we understand that as we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, but we are acknowledged in verse 12 and 13 that you've got to know it is God who works in and through you. It is God who is making it possible for you to do these things because you didn't do it before. It's now it's possible because you surrendered to God. And those who don't surrender to God are still struggling, still trying to find answers to the great problems and questions of life. You and I have been blessed with answers. We don't have all the perfect answers to everything because it's a growth process. You don't learn it all overnight. You can't climb a mountain overnight. It takes one step at a time. Dear brethren, God wants us to be mindful that it is His will that we are to be thankful for everything, everything. And we lose balance in this world because we are not thankful for everything. And when you have something that you lose from a simple thing, I think of a situation right now. One of our elders lost his wallet when we were at the regional conference in Cincinnati. This elder lost it, didn't know where it was. How does he get back home? Well, that got all worked out. Home office helped him and everything, and he got back home to his pastorate. But we all prayed about that, and we prayed and asked that God, please, whoever finds that wallet, let it be a person who at least strives to be a Christian, a person who's trying to do the right thing, and will send that wallet back to him. We just got the word. A man from California found that wallet in the car that the elder had lost and mailed it back to him with everything intact. God watched over that wallet and brought it back to the pastor. And that was our prayers. Because it hurts when you lose something. I don't care if you lose a wallet. I don't care if you lose your keys, folks. It drives you nuts. You don't want to lose anything. And this I didn't have. We were praying for him because how in the world you have to have now in this day and age, you got to have a driver's license. You can't get on an airplane without identification. How do you do it? Well, God worked out all those details through home office. But where was that wallet? God knew where the wallet was. And he was so happy to pass that on to us and let us know, thank you for your prayers. God heard it. And everything was intact. A simple thing like a wallet. You mean God is concerned about a simple thing like a wallet? Yes, if it's your wallet and you need it. Whatever you ask for and you pray and believe, God says you will receive. Dear brethren, let's rejoice now as we approach the Thanksgiving holiday. We live in the greatest country by the grace of God. We have the most wonderful opportunity to fellowship with one another. We don't know what the years will bring forth. Now is the time to make the most of the day we have today. We have the hope of tomorrow. We've got to learn from the mistakes of the past. And may we be blessed of Almighty God all the days of our sojourn. And may we all share in the joyous return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when He returns. That is what we hunger and thirst for. God be with us all.